Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 82 for June 18th, 2009. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas, and over the last few days about 20 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put the list together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. We're going to get through as many of those as we can. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just go to, just search for Timing Research and subscribe there. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And today I have arranged for Michael Filigera, Mike Bassani, and Jim Kenny to join us. Jim is going to be moderating. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, great. Good to have everybody here today. And before we get started, Mike, why don't you give a quick background on yourself and a little bit about what you're doing down there?
Thanks, Jim. My name is Mike Bassani. I'm with smartoptiontrading.com. My website's up on the screen. What I do is I look for technical setups and I look for option flow around it or unusual option flow that shows me what names are in play on any specific day and what names I should be looking at on different days. And then also when to get out, you see the put buying. So for example, the last couple of days, we've seen tremendous buying in Facebook. And right off the open this morning, they started selling all those calls they were buying, telling me that trade was over. So we use this for day trading, for swing trading, and that's how I differentiate myself. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, great. Hey, Michael, a little background on yourself. And again, some of the stuff that you're doing down at your place.
Okay. I am Michael Filigera. I am the proprietary owner of LogicalSignals.com. Remains under construction, although you can go there and you'll see stuff. But hoping to bring a new site into play. Now it's going to be more probably July, maybe even out to August as other things come in and force my attention to that. But in any case, I'm going to be starting to revamp the website, not necessarily have a trade room, maybe, I'm not sure, but more into writing because that's something that I really enjoy doing. So it'll be a daily commentary on the markets, on some individual stocks, and more than likely mostly on futures, which is where I spend most of my trading time in the futures markets.
Okay, great. You know, we've got a very active market here. Dow Jones is on pace for its best month of June in 80 years. S&P, the best month since 1955, and the NASDAQ, the best month since 2000. So the momentum certainly has been there this month, and we got a Fed meeting tomorrow, and the ECB announced that they're willing to do easing, I guess, if things happen. So this is a pretty active time to be looking at these markets. We're going to start out now with BHP. They're a mining company, and Mike, what's your take on BHP?
BHP. So I think I want to clarify, all everything I look at today, guys, it's really dependent upon what the market does after the Fed tomorrow and what the Fed has to say and how they react. Take that with a grain of salt. Decide what kind of risk you want ahead of that 2 o'clock announcement in the press conference at 2:30. That said, BHP here. Gold is trying to go, and gold. I was on TD Ameritrade on Friday on their network, and it's been in a 6-year channel at 1350. If gold can break that channel, if there's fear in this market and concern, gold is likely a place they're going to hide, and they continue to look to go hide in there. That means all these miners are going to go. And what I liked was Nugget led the other day, and BHP is probably not one of the better ones to be in, but you can go with Nugget or Gold or KL. There's just some better names to look at, but this chart looks great. It's a little extended here out of the Bollinger Band. RSI is getting hot. It's got to take out 57, which will probably be resistance the first time it hits it to really get going there.
Mike, do you think that the enthusiasm for gold and the fact that it hasn't taken out certain highs in GDX and some of the other ones could be a sign that it could back off of this resistance?
I do. I think it really depends on what happens over the next 2 weeks, Jim. We get the Fed tomorrow, and then in 2 weeks, we get the G20, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're worried or they don't like what they hear from the Fed, I don't think gold's going to care that it's getting into that resistance zone, right? It'll blow through and they'll hide there. They did that back in the end of last year when they were trying to get out of the markets. So I think it's really a news-driven event, and that's the problem. It's hard to look at technicals when you have a news-driven event about to happen.
Yeah. Michael, you follow gold very closely. I know that. So why don't you share with the audience your take on what's happening here with BHP and then generally metals in general?
Okay. BHP, I think, is kind of almost appears to me to be a little bit of a laggard, and that might be because it's an ADR. So like Mike, I think if someone is truly interested in the miners or just playing gold, that they likely should look at Nugget or look at gold, G-O-L-D, which is a miner. And that would, I think, going to provide more bang for your buck, but that goes in both directions. So let me just kind of put that disclaimer in. But BHP, I think, may kind of begin to stall out, and it could take a shot at 57.25 or the 57 area. It certainly is close enough right now. We had a lovely gap up today, and that was primarily because of gold. So I think that the market's going to be very limited. On a daily basis, the market is a little bit overbought. Doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of how long a market can stay overbought. But then I flip out and I look at the weekly, and the weekly, it's, you know, out of the last 6 weeks, one was down, five were up. So when you had mentioned, you know, do we think that the market could take a pause if it gets up towards resistance? I would say yes. And I agree with what Mike added, in that a lot is going to depend on what happens tomorrow with the Fed. And even though the Fed is now, you know, little leaks are coming out saying that they may be amenable to lower, gold did not care. Gold, today was a day where I actually, how I term it, is a Billy Graham rally. Everything goes up. Gold was up, crude was up, commodities were up. You know, you were kind of hard pressed, other than volatility, to see anything that was really heading lower. And when I see that kind of thing, it's kind of like, I think that's kind of reaching an end. Now, gold itself sits right below 1350. This has been a major stepping stone, but right above we have 1368, which to me may provide some stronger resistance, because that was the previous high that we had in April of 2018. Yeah. So now the wave pattern itself is not necessarily bearish at all. I think it remains bullish, but the market certainly can pull back. And there are a number of things that can add to that, and a number of other things that'll force the hand. Gold, as far as gold traders, they are spectacular and really washing out all the weak hands. And you'll see this tremendous rally. You see all the commercials might come in, or you see a lot of retail come in. They all got to own gold. And then suddenly gold goes down 25 or 30 bucks in a day, and they start washing it out. But I would take it as just a pullback, and I'm
all right.
Bullish.
I got you. I'm with you. Mike, we got a big move today in the semis, and NVIDIA certainly participated. The next one on the list is NVDA. What's your take on NVIDIA?
Hey, Jim. Semis are a tough spot right now, right? And we were up a little bit. In fact, NVIDIA was showing a little bit of pre-market strength this morning. I noted that. And then, obviously, all of the love affair between President Trump and Xi through social media started, right? They both started talking about the phone call. Then they started saying they're going to sit down together. They're going to have a separate breakout session, yada, yada, yada. And the semis were the ones that got the biggest lift, because they've been the ones the most beat up. And the biggest worry is that with China's market closing to them, is that the semis will have nowhere to sell. So my thoughts here is this real? I don't know. I don't really expect a deal at the G20. I don't think these two can sit down and iron out a deal. It's going to have to be agreement to talk after this. But, you know, if you can get a bounce, you can bounce from, you know, we're here in the top of the Bollinger Band. You certainly have room up to the 50 and 100 day, all the way up here at 163, if it wants to try to run into the G20. I still am surprised it hasn't taken out some of these lows that it put in earlier this year, based upon how weak the name's been. It's not my favorite. AMD is still my favorite semi to play in, and then Xilinx, and then Qualcomm. Those are the three I like the best. But, you know, if you like it for an oversold bounce, it's certainly, and the semis are strong, I wouldn't be afraid to try to take this to 165.
All right. Oh. Sounds pretty good. Michael, what's your take on NVIDIA?
Not as rosy as Mike was. And I don't mean to say rosy, because I fully agree with what you're saying about semis are having a little bit of a problem lately. I think that on an Elliott Wave basis, this is both on the weekly and the daily, I got an ABC up off of that low at the very end of May, it looks like, or the very beginning of June. We put in a low and then we rallied, and it's rallied in three waves, which is not positive. Have it continued upside? Yeah, it can. And I agree with Mike's levels, 160, 162-ish. Very, very possible. Not necessarily going to happen, but it is possible. But I don't see a whole lot of hope, and I think that I would be looking to short the stock versus getting long.
Hey,
let's turn to the
Trump on demoting Fed Chairman Powell. Let's see what he does tomorrow. He doesn't have the right to do that.
He doesn't.
This is going to be fun. All right, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I thought that was.
All right, so let's go to a new sector here. This name's been around forever, and it's a pharma, and it's Abbott Labs. What are you seeing in Abbott Labs, Mike?
You know, this is one of the names they've been hiding in, Jim. There's been some safety names, consumer staples, some of the big pharma names they've been hiding in, like Procter & Gamble. Abbott's just another one of those names. And, you know, basically every dip's been buyable on these things. And, you know, ever since we broke out here and we took out the high of 80.42, you can see it's just trending higher. And today you got that explosive move up to 83. This is not a barn burner. It is overbought. It is getting extended here. But as long as they want to hide these safety names, I try to buy dips off the 8-day. The 8-day moving average is all the way down to 81.65. I wouldn't chase that candle, but I would try it on a dip. You could take names like CL, P&G. They've all been this very similar to that.
It's got a high valuation too, 56. 6-to-1 PE ratio.
That's pretty damn high for a pharma company.
All right, what do you think about drugs, Michael? I mean, Abbott Labs drugs, anyway.
Yeah, anyway, right. I think it's time to get out. I don't disagree with what's already been said, what Mike was adding, but this thing is cooked. And I think that, you know, 83.59, which struck today, is over a 20-year high. So I don't have data that goes back further than that. So we're sitting at all-time highs here, at least for the last 20 years. And I'm also looking at pattern, and it looking pretty complete to me. A monthly chart is straight lining after being extremely overbought. Now it's just kind of overbought. I don't hold a lot of hope. I would not be buying stocks up here. I do not buy things on a what many people would say a breakout, a breakout high. I'm like, I don't think that. And Jim, you taught this to me. I admire it and I love it. I have a 200-day moving average on the weekly coming in at 57.71.
That's all you need to know.
Stocks trading at 83.59.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's pretty extended. Yeah.
Thank you. You taught me
all that. Right. One. Well, thank you, man. I'll expect the check in the mail by Friday.
Yeah, really? You're right.
Well, listen, let's turn our attention to the big boy on the block. They've got that web services kicking all kinds of butt, and they're back on the bicycle here. Amazon, do we think this is just a little head fake to the upside, or is it back on the bike, Mike?
You know, it's not trading particularly well, Jim. It's actually just trading lock and step with the SPY and the Qs, which means it's not trading on its own power, own volition, right? And we like names, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in names that are moving on their own, not that are just moving at the whims of the indexes. Notice today I had my chart up. I had this line's been drawn forever. It came right to resistance and yanked right off of it today, right? Mm-hmm. You got that long tail that developed. You got a shooting star candle today on there. To me right now, Amazon is a story of if the markets go, this will go higher. If the markets come down, this is going to come down. And you trade as a proxy on the markets because it has more range. And
it's in so many ETFs, it has to be bought when the people buy the ETF, right?
Yep. Yeah. But it's not moving on.
And you did make a point. It did lose about 20 points off its high today. So it didn't exactly go home screaming. Actually, about a buck off the opening is where it went home.
Yeah, it held the gap up, but that's about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Michael, your take on it. Is it a go or a no-go or a hold?
I think I think it still has some additional upside to see. Daily's overbought. Weekly's getting there pretty strong. But that doesn't mean that it's going to stop. Again, agreed with what both of you have said. Not only is it in all the ETFs, it's in all the indexes. So that's going to, and it's a part of FANG. And so when they come in and they don't like FANG, boom, this thing gets socked in the jaw. When they love FANG, boom, it gets propped up. But I think as far as their business model and as far as business goes, they're going to, I think, knock them dead. Now, having said that, will that prevent this stock from going down? Absolutely not. I think that the stock is overbought. And again, because it's a part of everybody's portfolio, and it's also a part of all the ETFs and a part of indexes, it'll go down with everybody else.
You know, one last thing to add, Jim, is we do have antitrust and breakup concerns on both on Google, right, Amazon, and Facebook and Apple right now. Now, that's gone quiet over the last week and a half again, but I do suspect at some point that's going to rear its ugly head again, and these guys are going to have to go to court and fight this out.
Right. It hasn't been forgotten. Yeah. It's still out there.
All right. This next company advertises that it's the best first job in America, so I sent my 16-year-old son down there to prove that, and he's making money. So this one's called McDonald's, and how do we feel about McDonald's nowadays? Mike.
Congrats to your son.
Yeah. He just checked his balance. $2,500 in savings already. He's on his way.
Nice. Yeah, tell him don't eat the food.
Right.
So McDonald's has been this monster for the last year, right? From, you know, if you take it from the lows last year of 152, it's up over 200 right now. And it's done it very methodically. It had this long consolidation period. It broke out. And then it spent a month frustrating everybody in the world trying to get through 200, right? Go up, touch it, yank right back off of it. Did it. Finally, it broke through. Two-day move. Then it gapped down and took everybody out on that big wicked day. And now it's trying to rebuild here. So now I have a notification set right at 206. Because if it can take out 206, to me, you get that next move. Again, you're blue sky territory. We love blue skies because names can get some power of their own. So either you try it off the 8-day, right, which has been support, or you take it over 206. It's very tight here. It's not giving a lot of intraday trading. It's not a lot of volatility. So for me, if you like it, you try it off of roughly the 8-day at 203, 204. And if you want to wait, you wait for it to take out 206 with power and authority, and you jump on it then.
Okay, Michael, how are you feeling about it? Moving average is about 181. We're at 204. What is your crystal ball saying?
Sold. It could power above 206, but I would be a seller and I would scale. I would just not, you're not going to put the whole kit and caboodle on at one time. And I'd just scale up and I would stay short this thing. I love looking at things where it's like new all-time high, the problems that it had going above 200. You know, Mike was just really consistent there that, you know, it had one day, it washed everybody out. So what did they do? They came back. They're flooding back in and they got to have and they got to have and they got to have. And I'm like, okay, so what's it going to do? You're going to maybe get $6. You buy now, maybe it goes to 210, maybe. So your risk reward is $2 to $6 to $200 on the downside. I mean, that's to say the stock goes back to zero, which I doubt. I mean, I'm looking at monthly, Jim, that 200 days at 95. I say it's got to drop back out of the stratosphere before I would even begin to be interested in McDonald's.
All right. Here's a miner that I think is smaller than the first one. BHP, I think, is an $80 billion company. So this is an old name as well, Barrick Gold, and it's trading at $14.37. Mike, have you done a little bit? It's obviously close to its 52-week high here. Mike, do you see Barrick Gold any differently than you do the other? Because we shouldn't spend too much time on it if it's just a repeat of BHP, right?
Honestly, my thoughts are very similar. I happen to like this one better. It doesn't gap as much, right, where the other names are constantly gapping around, and it has more liquidity to it. So I would prefer to trade this over BHP.
A quick comment, Michael, on Barrick.
Barrick, I like. It's going to fall in line pretty much with what gold does. So it'll rally with gold, it'll decline with gold. I don't think it'll get too far exaggerated. It's working its way back up right now. I don't think it's going to get much above 17.5 on this round. And then, you know, it'll get caught up and getting knocked back down again. But I think the big thing that I want to add about people that want to go in and play the gold companies, the miners, you've got to go figure out, and you can, all you can do is do your research on the particular company, see how much it costs them per ounce to take that gold out of the ground and refine it. Yeah. That's going to help you, because if their break-even point is at 1500, I don't care how much gold rallies, right, they can't produce. So I think
weren't they aggressively trying to take over another miner, and then the other miner didn't want any part of it? Was it Newmont they were trying to take over?
Yes, and Newmont actually was like giving the cold shoulder and saying, you've got to be kidding.
This could be an interesting stock. And the price of 15, as I look at my graph for the last couple of years, has been a pretty reasonable, difficult place for the thing to get above. Right. So we'll have to see how it reacts to the Fed thing, you know. But I mean, the enthusiasm on TV and the enthusiasm of people on the gold is extremely high. Mm-hmm. Yet I'm looking at the juniors, the GDXJs are nowhere near their high.
Right.
And the dollar is still very strong. Right. So while I definitely think, you know, over time, you know, gold can do very well, I'm just wondering, in the short run, is the card a little bit ahead of the horse? We'll see, obviously, after the Fed meets.
We got Trump very active here right now.
What do we got?
China wants to make a deal, good relations with Xi. U.S.-China negotiation team starting talks tomorrow, out of nowhere.
He has a rally tonight in Orlando, so I don't think it's coincidental. We have a lot of action on Twitter, and we also have got a lot of action down there in Orlando with the kickoff of the campaign. So
just
speaking of Twitter.
But we'll have to see. You know, you never know. Anything can happen in the wild, wild world we're in right now, right?
That's right.
All right, let's turn over to, since we're bringing up Twitter, the one-way conversation way of talking to people. Here we go, TWPR. I mean, you know, it's a great, you know, I mean, do people don't really go back and forth on Twitter? Do they just come out with a comment or something?
There's some back and forth.
There's some back and forth there.
Yeah.
I guess when I see the president's tweets, it always seems like a one-way conversation.
So, well, that's because he's president, and nobody wants to say anything up with a bunch of black cars outside their house.
All right, anyway, let's talk about Twitter. It's had a 26 to 46 year and then back to 36. So this thing is right smack in the middle of its trading range. Where is it going to go? Is it going to go north or south or stay the same? Mike?
You know, Jim, I love this name. It had great earnings. I made a lot of money on it on earnings day, trading it in the morning as after it released, and then the next couple days after that. And despite really good earnings and a great outlook, they continue to kind of sell it off here. And, you know, it was on an island for a lot of this last couple of months. And it finally went and filled that lower gap. And it can't really recover. You see it's got a downtrend here. And it really just can't quite get above this. And it comes in down around, right, you know, just a little bit above where we came to today. It's below all the moving averages, but the 100-day and the 200-day. I hate to say it. I love this name. But right now it's in a weak phase and it can't get going. And if you look at the CMF study that shows the money's been flowing out of it. You know, big money's not been going into it. It's coming out. So I own this long term down from 17. I am right now very cautious on adding to it or trading it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you get the price of 36 and it's under the 50, but it's above the 200, it's a little bit of a no man's land technically sometimes. And then, the 200 day must be rising, and I always consider that a positive.
It looks to me like it's mostly flat.
It's just basically flat. It's not really rising too much.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, Michael, your turn. Take a swipe at Twitter. What do you think?
Really, take a swipe at Twitter. I have never been a fan of Twitter. I live in San Francisco. Twitter is based in San Francisco. I did not like the deal that the city gave Twitter. I don't like Jack Dorsey. I think that he runs a good company in Square. But I tell you, this guy badmouths the horse that, you know, the gift horse. And that's the city and county of San Francisco, which gave him and the company a $10 million tax break to come be downtown. And then he's got the gall to kind of say, well, you know, it's not that great. Really? Give us back the $10 million. In any case, I don't like the stock. I think it is stuck between the moving averages. And so sell the top, buy the low. But in any case, I don't hold out a lot of high hopes for this thing. I think that the Twitter in and of itself gets a lot of support from Square, even though that they're supposed to be Chinese Wall. I don't know how much actually exists. But supposedly they were going to come out with something new that was going to really beef up their ability to do what they do. That, I think, took the stock up to 41. Failure of it, seeing it, or even any mention of it, dropped the stock back down. I'm not long. I'm not short. And the only thing that I play is because it's in indexes. So it gets to be influenced that way. I don't like the stock. Never did.
Ooh. All right. This next one is called S&P Global, and it's under a category called investment advisors. It's not something that I'm familiar with, but it is certainly something that's been doing very well. 52-week low is 26, and 229 has been the high, and it's currently at 226. So this has certainly been a bicycle that's been going higher, but I'm not familiar with it. Mike, can you give us a little background on what this is all about, and what do you think of it?
I don't know anything about these guys. I know some people have brought it to my attention a couple times, because the chart's beautiful, right? The chart, you put a nice cup and handle in, coming back up here. Let's see if we can find out on it real quick. See if Yahoo Finance wants to be nice. No, it doesn't. Ever since they sold Yahoo Finance, it's not been the same.
I got you.
I'm clicking on it, and it just the symbol will not come up. Why? Because Yahoo Finance doesn't want to play nicely. Yeah. From a technical perspective, it looks great. You know, not far off of a all-time high. Let's try it again. No, Yahoo Finance doesn't want to play. What I don't like about this name from a trading perspective is it has under a million shares traded per day, and that for me is usually something where I'm looking for at least that to stay in it. And this one's a little bit light when it comes to that. It's, you know, to your point, Jim, you're going to say it's getting a little bit above the 200-day. Yeah, it's getting a little bit extended here.
Not tremendous. Not tremendous. Yeah, not tremendous.
So let's see. Here you go. Profile came up finally after playing with this. They do benchmark. They do commodities. Bench data and capital commodity markets worldwide. They are subsidiaries.
They're the old McGraw-Hale Financial.
There you go. That's who they are.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever they are, they've been doing a pretty good job, because the low to the high in the last 52 weeks certainly has been pretty good. But the volume is not off the charts by any means. So if you're looking for a more liquid in and out, out, this might not be the game in town.
That's true.
But anyway, Michael, what are you seeing here? Anything to add?
I think that it's going to, because we're moving into, you know, next earnings season, they're likely going to continue to uptick here. I would wonder why they must have, they disappointed. So I'm looking at a daily, and they made a new high at 229 last week and then immediately closed a lot lower. I have to think that that's they reported, in which case they disappointed, and that may or may not have a continued effect. And what we're seeing right now is just a rebound bounce off of that low from last week. And if that's the case, this thing's going back towards 220 or below. So,
well, oil's got whacked pretty hard, and now it's back up today. We're going to be looking at ExxonMobil, which is one of the standards in that industry. And Mike, you're going to let us know how you feel about XOM.
So oil's up today, right, after being down for, you know, ever. First time it retook the 8-day now in over a month. And that's on China, right? Oil's up on China, hopes that we can get a trade deal, because that's one of the big things that's driving oil prices down right now, is they're worried about China demand. So that, and we're about to get numbers any minute now coming out for today. On ExxonMobil, you know, I got to tell you, Jim, I keep looking at these names for a bounce, and they just, you know, all year long, the energy stocks have not traded with oil. Where crude kept going up, these things kept going sideways or down. They didn't have the same power. They didn't follow them. I prefer CVX Chevron here to this name. You know, I know there's a nice dividend with this name, but, you know, honestly, to me right now, it's got room to 77 area, where you have a bunch of pivots and your 50 days coming down into there fast. It's going to need a wicked bounce from oil to go. And my one concern remains with oil is that there's a glut in the world, and that right now the only reason that they've been oil price has been going up is because everybody's cutting back production. What happens if they just decide to turn the spigots on?
Right.
So I just don't see these as a place to be. And I like when energy is in play, because there's some great names. And when ExxonMobil is in play, this thing can move, right?
Yeah.
So I'd love to see it get in play, because if it can get going, takes back 78, gets a bunch of institutions back into it above that 200 day, and then you got a gap and you got to move back up to 83.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If the oil got really cooking above 65 or 70, or something like that, this thing would have a very bright future. But to do that, it's got to get above 80 and 85. That's for sure. With regards to Mike, Michael, I'm sorry, adding something on Exxon one way or the other?
I actually think I would be very cautious on Exxon right now, simply because, again, off of the decline, which started in April from 83.50, you know, drops all the way back down to just like 71, 70, 63. I think it's just, we're at that cusp where either it will start to break above 77, as you guys mentioned. If it does, then I would say it's not just a corrective bounce. But if it fails from here and starts to head lower, then I would expect the stock to drop below 70 before beginning to start a more sustainable longer term rally. So I think that the 200 is pretty safe right now, and that I would be, if I'm long the stock, I'm looking to throw some protection on it so that I can hold it, or just kind of reverse and maybe do a bunch of good stuff with puts and look for some downside.
You know, the chart looked a little bit like Nvidia, which is also trying to make a turn, in that, you know, it went down, then it went back up, then it came back down a little bit, and now it's taking out that point. And sometimes that can be a fairly strong reversal if it can really do that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if, because this 50 number on crude seems like, you know, if you start seeing four handles on crude, I think you can stick a fork in these oil companies. But
absolutely,
if 50 is the bottom, then you might be able to make a case that the lows that have been put in recently in the 73 area or whatever could hold up for a while.
Do we know when is OPEC? I know they were supposed to meet in June and they postponed it, right?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not sure when they're going to meet again, but don't forget, guys, that we also have this whole, the tension now with Iran and the Middle East and Saudi Arabia and et cetera, et cetera.
Does anybody think that's real?
Do I think it's real? Yes, I do think it's real. And because they really are shooting missiles at ships, and that.
But they've done this before.
Whether it's man-made or whether it's, you know, not. The fact that the United States dropped and just shut themselves out of the Iran nuclear deal now gives Iran full game. It's like, hey, okay, you're out, so why should we not do what we were doing? We have no reason not to. And so they're starting to enrich again. They can go and play in the Strait of Hormuz. They can be more aggressive in that we're going to stop the shipment of oil because what's out there now? Nothing. So, you know, unless our current administration regains a sense of sanity, then I think it is very real. And I think the potential is extremely real.
I think it's just them playing games, trying to make attention.
Who knows what it is. I mean, you could build up a story anywhere you want. Could be Saudi doing it to themselves for all we know. Who knows?
That's true. But
if they're causing trouble there to get people interested in buying oil, they can get away with not pumping by causing panic. So if you want the prices to go higher, yet you don't want to cut, then basically you're looking at maybe.
But they're not pumping right now, are they? I thought they are no longer allowed to sell oil on the open market.
Who? The sanctions have really affected the country, so that's another reason why I think they're going to push a little bit harder. Which is why I'm keeping an eye on oil. I mean, it's like, you know, we're talking about Exxon, we're talking about a lot of different companies, and here we are sitting in the middle of a potential hotspot. So what happens then? You know.
But I mean, if the best you can do is go up $2 with a bombed ship, that's not that great of a sign either. But,
I hear you.
If there's more to come, the price will probably let you know exactly what's going on. Let's flip over here to the new issue FVRR, which came out and it went up to $44, and now it's at $31. And people out there are probably trying to figure out what they think. Not too much data. These guys are into training, I guess, employee training.
Yep.
So I don't know how much money's in that, but what do you guys think? What do you think, Mike, on this thing?
So, you know, new IPOs are hard to trade. You have to trade them differently, right? They trade purely on momentum. And if you look at this chart, you got what, 4 candles, right? Not much to go off of. So what you do is you bring it down to an intraday chart and you go to a 5-minute chart. So we know it, I don't remember what the IPO price was, but we all, you know, it opened obviously higher and it got this huge move that day, right? From 27 and then in the overnight hours, it hit 44 and it opened at 44.25. What you do is you go put a mark on there. That's your, if it breaks above that, you try to go long, right? Because that, now you know you're taking out a stock on a high on an IPO and it's very likely to get some momentum into it when that happens. This is how new IPOs trade. Sold off, come down, but it's still holding the low, right? So it's still above the open. So right now it's in a trading range. There's not much here to do with it. What you can do is say if it breaks below that, it's a possible short. And right now it's a possible long over 44.25. But in between there, and I know this is an unusually wide range for a name, right? Because this one had that huge move. There's really nothing to do here. You really kind of just have to chill out, let the name figure out what it wants to do on its own, and just, you know, let it settle in. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to have a lockup. They're going to want to push this to get out. Once we get about 2 more weeks into it, the analysts can come out that were involved in the IPO and start putting their recommendations on it, right? They can start initiating coverage. But right now, you know, it has decent volume, over 2.5 million shares. We'll see how this plays out. To me, it looks like it probably wants to go a little lower here, maybe retest that 26.
What do you think, Michael?
I really don't have an opinion, although I agree with what Mike is adding here, in that as a new IPO, it opened, it did its flurry, which everyone looks for, and now it's pulled back, and now it's just kind of moving sideways. You know, I think it's like if you really want to be long the stock because you think it's going to continue to move higher, it's a 50-50 shot. You buy the stock and you put a stop below 25.55. That's what
All right. This next one is in the pipeline transportation business. Obviously, it's a dividend play, a yield play, and P/E ratio is pretty high. Lost half its value. So if you make 10% and you lose 50%, I don't think that math works so good. But anyway, it's Antero Midstream Corp, AM, and trading 11.93 on the close today. What are you seeing here, Mike, as far as up, down, or sideways?
You know, this name, whatever happened back here in March, volume has really changed on this name, right? You look at this chart, and this thing was doing 500,000 shares a day, if that. And now it's, you know, now this thing's doing over 1 million shares on even 2 million on average a day, and getting spikes up to, you know, up to 12 million. So something has gotten people heavily involved in trading this name all of a sudden, and I'm not sure what that news is, Jim. From a technical perspective, I see a downtrend. I mean, I could look at this chart and say to you that I just see this stock that's been making a series here of lower highs all the way down. It has some support in this area, which is testing yet again and trying to break around this 1175. And then if it loses that, it has 1125. But once it's over there, higher, then it can go retest this low at 950. I don't know what the catalyst is here. So for me, I look at this chart and this is not a name I want to be playing it. I wouldn't be holding this here.
Yeah, the seduction is the yield. And the stick is the fact that the principal has been dropping pretty steadily, but it is trying to stabilize above 10, but that could be temporary for all we know. What do you think, Michael?
I think that this is a company that really develops midstream energy infrastructures. And so they really are involved in the segments. They're segments that include gathering and processing and water handling and treatment. So guess where they're located? In the Marcellus Shale in Northwest Virginia and the Utica Shale in Southern Ohio. Coal. It's coal, boys. And so I think that's where they're getting the pop, is because of all the discussion and all the crap that's going on in coal. But I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
All right, everybody's getting pretty excited. So let's turn to cannabis and calm down here a little bit. The next one is Aurora Cannabis and ACB. And I have followed this one a little bit. I thought it looked like it might be pretty good. And then, of course, as soon as I started thinking that, it went down. But I saw the CEO on TV. He had a good story. Supposedly, Nelson Peltz is advising him, I think.
Yeah.
And so he was throwing around some names. And that isn't helping the stock very much right now. But it could have in the future. Mike, what are you thinking of ACB?
So the Nelson Peltz news, I believe that came out. That was a little while. I think that was back in March. And that was that big burst we got in the name again after here. All the cannabis names right now are out of play. All their charts, they're all kind of drifting down, going sideways. Now, we have CGC earnings on Thursday night, 10:30 at night, Eastern time. So that's the next catalyst. Overall, I don't know what's really the catalyst for these names right now. You know, it's been legalized in Canada. It's been legalized in select states in the United States. And some more will be adding, like my state, New Jersey. They're putting it on for a referendum vote for in November, I think. But, you know, it's not legal in the state. It's not legal in the United States. So it's only state dependent right now. I don't know what the catalyst here from a technical perspective. It's flirting with losing the 200-day, the last of the moving averages. It's right under it here. Everything's curling down. You know, if it loses this 7 area, it could very easily come back down here and test this 475 area without a second thought. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to be careful right now with these until we get some news or a catalyst to get them going. And they are a news-driven type of stock.
What about you, Mike? What are you thinking?
They're very news-driven, and I think a lot of it is dependent upon the whole story around the fact that the states are now one by one, as Mike said, coming up to the plate and saying, yes, we'll allow, you know, the sale of marijuana. Some states continue just to keep it medical. States like California, Colorado, Washington are both saying, no, they can be, it's legal for recreational use as well. On all of that hype, the stock rallies last year, 2 years, 3 years ago, quite a while ago, up to 1253, and now it came sliding down. Then it rallied back up on additional hype. I think that was the state of California and all the rest of the good stuff. And now it's just heading back down again. And I think I agree with what Mike is saying. There's nothing really to base your trade on, because the future is of this industry, while strong, does it move back into, you know, the back rooms and it goes, you know, behind closed doors, or does it stay out in the open and things get developed and therefore, you know, everything comes in? One of the things that I would not hold as favorable is the fact that this is sitting right at, at least on the daily, on my charts, the 200-day. And it can't seem to, it's tried for now 3 days, 4 days, five, you know, quite a while to get back. And when it does, it pops and then it slides. It pops and then it slides. So I think they're just waiting for some kind of news to either support buying it or to support, I'm getting out and that's it. I'm not going to touch it until this becomes a more realistic thing to do. In other words, you know, to invest in cannabis stocks. It gets a lot of hype, at least in California. Cannabis stock, a lot of hype.
Right. Well, this next one I find very interesting now because they came up with that, Bitcoin angle called Libra. And it went from down from 160, and it seems to be having a gap up. And I'm wondering if it'll have a runaway and exhaustion gap to follow if the Fed comes out with a good news report. And I've always wondered if it was ever going to fill the gap between 220 and 200 or 190 that it had back in 18 when it got that bad news. It's been trying to fill that gap in the last few months here. And I'm just wondering out loud, is this thing getting ready to go? go, because, you know, with all the currency being printed around the world, printing, you know, are they going to be able to have some kind of a currency down the road that people will trust? And with all their users, I mean, it could be a very interesting marriage.
You know, so Facebook started acting a little bit better a couple of decades ago. We had this big downtrend, it gapped above it, right? Stopped dead on the 50-day, got almost no intraday movement. Then it gapped up again and got that big move. And then today it gapped up and sold off. And that's when the news came out last night of their release. And obviously that was a sell the news event, right? And we tend to get that in this market a lot, you know, sell the news. Now that said, I think this is huge for Facebook, but we're really looking at a mid-2020 implementation. So, you know, it's not like something that's coming out right around the corner. We got about a year. What they're trying to do is take over the payment space. And by the way, this is bad for PayPal and for Square and for Visa and MasterCard, because basically they're trying to get away from people away from their fees and bring some fees to them, but have less fees involved in it. And by creating a
Baba does already and Tencent does already with WeChat, correct?
Correct. Very, very similar. Great analysis, Jim, there. So from my perspective, today, you know, today the flow on it changed right away. We went from call buying to they were selling tons of calls on this thing right off the open. It's out of the Bollinger Band. It's extended off the 8-day, right? The 8-day is still all the way down at 181. It was up at 195 this morning. I don't think this moves over. It's got to take out 197.50, Jim, to get back in that gap, which I think it's trying to get there.
Right.
What I would do is I would look to see it come down, watch the 8-day came up, and see where they kind of come together. You know, as long as it held above 184, right, that gap, I think it stays in a good shape to reverse and go back up. It could just go sideways for a couple of days here. It's not overbought. Mm-hmm. It's just short-term extended. So, you know, this would be my go-to, one of my go-to names right now if the market decided to take off on a tear.
The volume today was huge, 37 million compared to a 16 million 50-day moving average. So something's going on there. And the other thing is a pretty reasonable line in the sand at 160, because that was the low and it also is the 200-day average. So if you're a long-term guy on this, maybe any pullbacks, as long as it doesn't take out 160, would be the way to go.
Yep.
But anyway, Michael, any other takes on the Facebook activity right now?
I like it. I like Facebook. I don't, you know, yeah, I like Facebook. I think it's like you're buy dips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what do you call it? It is almost 30. Well, today was $35, which is 20% above its 200-day average. So yeah, that's not nothing for a company that's $517 billion strong. So right. The bottom line is, when you get a big company that gets very far away from its average, it's a little more concerning.
Right. And I think really important to also kind of toss in there, Mike made a very good observation that only on the daily is it, you could say, well, it's overbought. And I think that contributed to the fact that they sold a little bit harder right off the opening. But on a weekly and a monthly, it's like, no, this has got a ton of room. This has got enough, to me, even on the weekly, it's got enough room to get itself back up 200, whether it's going to move to a new high or not yet to be seen. But add into they're going over, they're getting into the crypto space. But I don't know if you guys are seeing this, but here in the Bay Area, we've got billboard after billboard after billboard about Oculus. That's the little secret that Mark Zuckerberg's been holding back, but now he's putting up billboards on it because I think he's really got the virtual reality down, and now they're getting ready to release their product. And I'm telling you, it is out.
Yeah, for a couple of years now.
No. This is the new one.
The new one. Okay. A new version. Okay.
The new and improved that really brings reality right into your face.
Gotcha.
According to what I've heard. Now, again, I've not put the glasses on. I have no idea. But I think that Zuckerberg is smart enough and his teams are smart enough that they weather what's going on. They get through it and then they come back and boom. Now, again, like we've been saying all along, and I'm going to toss this out there, as good as Facebook may be and as great as their products may be and as fundamental and as strong as they might be, they will not get out of participating in any broad market decline. They will not. It won't happen.
Because they're in so many of the ETFs, right?
They're in all the ETFs. They're in all the indexes. And they're just big. So, you know,
all right.
it's not going to go down with them.
You know, a lot of the companies, we're going to turn to one right here. Did close off of their highs by a pretty good amount. And this area of semis or some of the cloud-based type companies, you know, we might have seen, I don't know if we saw it or not, Draghi's comments, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who's short has to cover before, because if it's followed up by a Fed cut, you know, the thing's going to scream on you. Right. So you had a lot of short covering and buying here today because of what you saw in in Europe. And now these names on the cloud that were doing quite well, but they seem to have at least run out of some steam. I don't know if it's telling us that the news may change by Thursday, which sometimes is reversal day. So if the market, you know, has trouble by Thursday, we could have gotten a tip from some of these stocks like this one right here. So let's look at Twilio and TWLO, and let's get some ideas on how you guys feel about it. And if this might be telling us something about the overall market, if the news doesn't come out as people had hoped.
I'm going to go with no on that one. And here's my thesis, is it's the quad witch this Friday, right? We're all focused on the Fed tomorrow, but we also have this little thing called the quad witch that takes place on Friday. And
right.
We've already seen tremendous rolling out of options today. I mean, the flow today was off the hook, and they were just rolling stuff left and right while they could, right? Getting out of the way. Twilio, there was some action in the July 145 calls. They came in, they looked like they were bought, they were swept up, but the name, as you pointed out, closed on the lows, right? Gapped up and basically gave it back, basically closed on the lows, didn't act particularly well today. But this name has a way of doing that. This name, you know, it's strong, it looks great, but it chops around quite a bit. I mean, this is a hard name to trade on a daily basis, because unless you get a big dip like you had a couple times on this chart, it just kind of goes sideways and chops around until it's ready to give a move. And the best moves for this one always come off a dip. If you notice, you know, if you try to buy a breakout, it almost always fails. The best thing to do is buy dips on this thing and then let it run up, and it goes and breaks out to a new high and then pulls back. It's done that the last couple of times, but it's a one-day breakout. So for me, on this name, Jim, I'm going to go, unless I got a decent dip, and for me, it'd have to go down and go below the 50-day, because that seems to be what it likes to do. It's got a lot of support on the 50-day. They like to play with it, bring it just below there, and then they yank it back up. That would be a better entrance than trying to trade this thing up here. But if you're a long-term investor, I would give it to the 100-day moving average, right? Which it hasn't hit now forever, so I would give it all the way down to this one, let's call it 126 area.
Yeah, right now we're about 40% above the 200-day average, and today's volume was 3.4 million shares versus average 4.1 million. So the volume seems to be thinning out, and the condition basis, the moving average, seems to be pretty far away. So obviously anything can happen, anything, but the setup for this thing to take a pause to refresh seems to be more reasonable than not. But anyway, Michael, on this one here, how are you feeling?
I actually like the space. I think that this got great things coming. So again, I'm going to agree with Mike. If you're a long-term investor and you're in this for the long haul, you might want to add, because I think that near term, like this week, next week, I think the stock continues to come lower and will break back below 140 and probably down maybe 138 to down to 136. It would be great if I got all the way down to that 126 level that Mike was talking about, because then I would think you want to load up. I think that that momentum wise, the stock has a lot of turning to do before it starts to produce stronger upside momentum. Today's little pop did basically zip. I'm looking at the daily momentum. Did zip to produce any type of movement in that index, in my momentum index. But I do like this. I like the space overall, and I like this particular name. What I don't like is where it's sitting. So I wouldn't initiate a long position here. I would wait to build in a little bit of space for myself or either side. So in other words, it's like, you know, if you're going to want it to come down to 126, but you kind of want to maybe jump in a little bit and scale, fine. Then you look for a drop below 138, and then you start to get in, and you got to stop below 120.
All right. Retail sales were pretty good last time they announced them. And so Target, obviously, is they had some kind of a breach, which I'm sure, Mike, you might have heard about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you just fill us in with some of the gaps here on how you feel about Target and what's this news all about?
So for Target, I actually had a nice trade off of this a couple times after earnings, and then it just kept going and I lost track of it somewhere in here. Now it's run all the way up to 89. Beautiful move. If you actually look, the three big retailers, Costco, Walmart, and Target, have all been very strong through in this. Home Depot's come on as well. And while retail's left for dead, we're seeing these big retailers coming back to life here. And I think that's because of some of their online stuff. Now, Target had a breach. Their whole online thing went down. They've had all sorts of issues this week. Weekend.
Right.
There was a whole bunch of outrage on Twitter and on Facebook, and a slogan started up. I don't remember for the life of me what it was. That said, everybody's having breaches, and everybody's having breaches. Everybody's going to get breached. There's nothing that's going to stop it. It's just becoming a way of this world. Remember when Equifax got breached and they've come back? Nobody cares. It's a short-term event. I would say dips on this are buyable. That said, for a retailer and a name like this, for me, it's hot. You know, RSI got hot. It's well above the 21-day and the 50-day. You know, for me, if it could come down and maybe try to test this 84 area. I would love to buy it off of there. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to chase it up here right now, Jim.
Okay. All right, Michael, real quick, what do you got here on
Ditto.
Target?
This is as quick as you can get. Ditto of what Mike said. I'm looking for it to drop back down towards 84. At 84, I've been looking. Either go for calls, folks. If you don't want to dump a whole chunk of change into this thing, I definitely would pick up some calls. But let it get through expiration. Let it get through all the rest of this week and the quadruple witching on Friday. And if it gets down to that nice level, like 84-ish, I like it.
Yeah. Well, the old adage is don't fight the Fed and don't fight the tape. And the tape on some of this stuff has been very strong. And I announced in the beginning of the broadcast that June is shaping up at the current pace to be one of the historic months in many, many decades. So we'll have to see how things shake out after the announcement and things like that. So it's either going to be a situation more than likely that we get a big run up and or that maybe they take some chips off the table. We're going to wrap up right now. And Mike's going to give us a little background again on himself, how to get a hold of him. And any special offers you might have, Mike.
Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure doing the show with you guys. My name is Mike Pisani. SmartOptionTrading.com is my website. Come in. I have a free newsletter you can sign up for. If you're interested in what I do, click on Real-Time Option Flow. Every day I do a morning setups video. I do a nightly recap video. We come up with ideas, top names to trade on that day, what we're looking for, recap what looks swingable, what the markets are shaping up like. I'm live for 3 hours a day on top of calling all the option flow throughout the day. And on Thursdays, I do a weekly mentoring webinar where this is where I can spend some time teaching people and talking about stuff that we don't have time to go over during the market hours. It's a $25 a month for the first 30 days, $100 every month thereafter. Cheap to offer. You're going to learn more and make a lot more money than $25 trying it. Hope to have you guys on board. Thanks, guys. Love doing this show with you.
Thanks, Mike. And Michael, can you get a little background again on yourself and how to get a hold of you? And if you have anything special on the offer side.
Sure. My name is Michael Filigera. I am with Logical Signals. It's my website. I don't have anything on offer right now. I'd love to say that I will, and I will shortly. So hopefully maybe next time I'm on, I'll be able to give something away. Continue just to do, basically, I'm focused on day trading and some option trading. For the option trading, I definitely will check in with Mike and yourself, Jim, for those ideas and that strategies. And thank you, David, for having me on, and thank you, Jim, for moderating today, and thank you, Mike, for having another good time with y'all.
Okay, thank you, guys.
I meant to say, if you want to get a hold of me, Michael at LogicalSignals.com.
Okay, great. I think a lot of information was provided here that hopefully would be of value to the people listening, as we did try our best on this. And I'm going to turn it right over to David now to sign off and close the show.
All right. Thanks, guys. Jim, did you want to tell them about your site?
Oh, yeah. If you'd like to get a hold of me or find out what I'm up to, it's optionprofessor.com, and you get the link to my weekly podcast. And if you have any questions, you just shoot them over to optionprofessor@gmail.com, and I'll do the best I can to give you a hand with them. Thanks, David.
All right. Thanks, guys. We got through the whole list and lots of good info. So great show. And just a quick reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory or network. Or you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this or any of the past shows. Both shows will be back next week, June 24th and 25th, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Episode of this show Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live to get access to the live broadcast. And I just want to thank my guests again for today. Michael Filigera of LogicalSignals.com, Mike Pisani of SmartOptionTrading.com, and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.